Another dialogue on the shit show of politics, special Spanish elections.
The podcast where we try to teach each other about European politics.
Fantastic. So yesterday we covered a couple of different topics on economy, and I wanted to bring back actually a highlight of the economical policies that previous coalition government put in place. That was the rising of the minimum wage from around 700 euros to 1,000 euros per month. It's still very meager, and it's still a very challenging salary to make a living on, but it's 30% above the previous rise. There were a lot of voices against it. The economical doctrine will argue that in the middle of the pandemic, it was completely responsible to raise the minimum wage, that it was going to tank the labor market, that it was going to be a bleeding wound to the companies that were already struggling to get by during the pandemic. But it hasn't been such.
Yeah, and so was forbidding child labor back in the day. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry to be salty about this, but it's always the same Crimea River. And yeah, at some point, it's if your business cannot be sustainable, giving people a living wage, then so bad.
Well, the child labor, we are fixing that, no? In the States, where they are passing some laws to flexibilize the child labor market. So,
Oh yeah, absolutely. And back in France, the Macron government is pushing really, well, has already implemented it, I think, to facilitate internship from 14-year-old. Whereas it's more 16-year-old right now, with the idea that this is a great thing for the young people who are trouble at school. And yeah, with a basic ideology of getting education will be good for the people of the bourgeoisie, and then the rest can just be exploited for what they're worth.
Well, but talking about children, the points or the topic that I wanted to cover in this piece is the topic of education,
Okay.
that is extremely dear to our hearts. And the measures are what follows. To reach a 5% of the GDP, of the Spanish GDP, in educational spending, and progressively advance towards a 7% investment, or a 7% of the GDP. Any comment on that part?
No, it sounds right. I mean,
Yeah, the mine is mainly generic. I have always held tremendously dearly the concept that expenditure in education is expenditure in the future, right? The expenditure in education, in public education especially, is one of the most powerful equalizers that any society could have, besides the other basics, no? But education is such a trampoline and such a platform for anyone to lead a life of possibilities, right?
yeah, absolutely. I will put up forward a quote that's rather popular in leftist circle in France right now, is that public services, among which especially public education, is the patrimony of those who do not have one. So redistribution, especially in education and healthcare, and then other public policies, is also a huge factor in reducing inequalities. So, and in a context where neoliberal policies are always pressuring towards cutting expenditures in state funding, if it's not state funding towards big private companies, then it's definitely something that that's as progressive we can be happy for.
And I have the impression that, and the impression is also built on some of the, on many of the dialogues that we've had about French education, and my own anecdotal experience of the Spanish one. No, that over the past decades, there's been the education has suffered from a lack of luster, a bad rep on how the on the privilege of educators compared to the rest or to the majority of the society that has less vacations, less salary, and so on. And that probably is an eroding factor to the quality and to the possibility of educators to do the best job that they want to do, because it's a job that it's very relatively easy to feel it's how the its impact, right? It's a job in which you can connect with the meaning and the purpose of what you're doing in many levels, no? So having a context in which the conditions that you have are underwhelming or are making you feel or are driving you to feel that you're not able to deliver a proper service to the kids, that are not able to give them what you believe they deserve. No, that's a catch-22, I think, in which many systems end up being, many systems of public education.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for context, I was a teacher in the French public education system, secondary school for 10 years before moving to Denmark, and in those short 10 years, it had started before my time, but it was clear that there was a general degradation of working conditions for teachers, and on top of that, I was working in rather privileged condition because I was working in the equivalent of high school and I had several certifications. So I was already a bit of a higher level of working condition. And even so, it was getting hard because obviously I also know a lot of teachers too, and a lot of us go into this profession really out of caveat, obviously there are some bad teachers, there are some people who go there as default, and everyone has known a shitty teacher in their lives. I'm really sorry about your first grade experience, whoever wants to see silent about this, but a lot of teachers are really motivated by love of their subject, by love of exchanging, and by public service mentality. Like, you're not going to make a huge profit as a teacher, just hope that you'll make enough to live comfortably. And this is why it got cut, because for quite some time, teaching, meaning going through academic training, so it was an investment, and there was at least a form of at least, let's say, respect about choosing to go in this profession that was completely toned down with making teachers into, I don't really have a metaphor for that, but I feel like as a way to justify again cutting public spending, because if teaching is not that difficult a job, if anyone can do it, if people go into teaching only to enjoy long vacation and I
Some
say
relative
and
privilege
yeah, and especially for
conditions.
a lot of women in the profession, having a working schedule that can also adapt with taking care of children after school, then you don't need to give these people generous salaries. Then you don't need to give them good working condition, because yeah, anyone could do it. And in France, become extremely pervasive because the cuts to public funding have become so bad that they have trouble hiring. Fancy
That's it.
that. And there's a lot, and there's significantly more people, more teachers also quitting the profession. So it has multiplied by three. So it's still relatively small numbers, but I would say if there was a pipeline to change jobs easily, there might be a lot more. So instead of that, some regions in France have taken to doing job dating sessions for teachers. So they just hire 10 people after 30 minutes. And then you have all these articles that make trained teacher snicker when people who were hired in a 30 minutes said, "Oh, I went to teaching because I wanted to have a shorter hour and a more laid back jobs, and I realized it's much harder than what I thought." And I'm like, yeah. And again, for a lot of people having this kind of opinion, if people think teaching is so easy, please, they're hiring. But obviously people are going away because it's a challenging job, even when everything is okay. And when you are making everything more difficult by cutting funds, by cutting hours, by cutting fundings for educational programs, extracurricular activities, then you create a vicious circle. But if I can put my tin for half for a minute, there's also this notion of it's a good strategy to break public services, make public school as unsustainable as possible. Then people with enough money will go to the private sector, and then you have even more reason to keep cutting spending.
Well, a shout out to my dearest teacher of history in high school that I had the luxury of meeting again a couple of days ago, and getting the delight of his wise and generous commitment.
Yeah, and sorry for the rant. I mean, I left France in 2017, so right after Macron's election, and with the notion of I need to prepare for my second career because it's already not good and it's not going to be better. And in the years since, I've seen the trends that I was dreading accelerating beyond anything I was expecting. And it makes me sad, really, because I love teaching, but when I left, I was really beginning to being to not being able to stand the institution, and it's a disgrace and a shame, which.
So let's see with the next points. To create a universal to create a universal and free coverage of the educational period between 0 and 3 years old, which are not included in the educational system at the moment. On this point, we can actually firsthand attest how absolutely critical that is for any semblance of life balance and a professional career. Living in Denmark, We've had coverage since our child was 6 months old, and the coverage is universal. There's some brackets, no, depending on your income, that you will pay from nothing if your income is very low to the to the maximum amount of this institution, but that doesn't even cover the full costs of the institution.
Yeah, so yeah, as parents of a young child, obviously we've been very appreciative of the luck that we have
Privilege,
of
yeah.
the privilege, yeah, of having readily accessible daycare in Denmark where we live, and obviously getting proper childcare is important for children development, and it's also extremely important for men and women equality, because again,
Absolutely.
researched and measured, women's careers suffer the most when the children come, because obviously the pregnancy and maternity leave takes a heavier toll, and there's also the still very sexist, very ingrained notions that women will be in charge of most of the childcare. And again, statistically measured, due to this factor, with equal job title responsibilities and qualifications, women's salaries tend to take a dip after having children, whereas men's salary tend to increase because yeah, men benefit from the presumption of competence even more when they can have family man added to the labeling, and some countries have actually seen their birth rate plummet due to lack of
Namely
healthcare.
Spain.
I was thinking of Germany among others, and in France we have partially funded childcare system, but a lot of people need to go to private institution because they are not
Lack of
lack of
spots, no, of
yeah.
places.
And the problem with private childcare, same with private retirement home, is that it's the kind of field where making profits means cutting costs and cutting salaries, sometimes to insane degrees. And in France, there's been a scandal recently with a privately owned chain because the condition had been so bad that there was a death
Oh,
in one of these
we
institutions.
can also on the positive side just suggest how enormously grateful we are to the pedagogues that take care of our child, that there's no week in which we don't go and thank them for the tremendous labor, both because of their professionalism, their education, their craft in being able to teach and to bring the children, to educate them in being responsible, in collaborating, even from a super early age. And having a ratio of pedagogues and assistants in the classroom that allows them to take the very, very careful care or of each of the children in the classroom, right?
Yeah, I think we're circling back always to the same question about what should be bad word, socialized or communalized in public spending, because again we're more or less on the same page in that. But oftentimes the counter argument you hear a lot is that, oh, but that's for the parents to figure out, and if you cannot pay for your own pay for your nanny or take care of your children yourself, then you shouldn't have children, or you need to find a way to pay for your own education. And notwithstanding the fact that again financial inequalities and especially inherited inequalities are so huge that they don't create equal chances, and And the both of us are sitting for a space that, yes, yeah, something should be communalized, something should be socialized and paid through a system of proportional taxes. But what is and especially those domains where making a profit can only be done detrimental to the health and safety of human beings. So education, healthcare, retirement, water and energy, and energy supplying, public transport. But it's true that oftentimes when you are facing people where the mentality is a bit of "fuck you, got mine," and anyone should just spend for themselves, notwithstanding that in average it is beneficial to neutralize this kind of fields.
And it's such a harmonizer for society, right? Our kid goes to daycare with a lot of kids from very different backgrounds, from children of entrepreneurs to children of first generation migrants that are struggling to get by. And that diversity, I think, and that integration is also a fundamental platform for our democracies or our societies to prosper and to be more equal.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also such a cultural change, trying to push against this very individualistic approach that is still very pervasive of everyone should be able to fend for themselves. And if I had to struggle to get anything, why should younger generation or why should anyone undeserving have it? And again, it's such a driving so-called good sense in a dead end that this kind of arguments feel sometimes very frustrating and difficult to answer to, actually.
Amor, I'm going to try to get us through the next points because they are this. I think these two were the just in a couple of minutes, so we're going to go to the 26 mark probably.
Okay.
So, a sufficient network of professional vocational training, formación profesional, vocational
Okay,
training. So, absolutely, vocational training is fundamental for our societies as well. Ecological canteens that are free and that are directly managed by the schools. Yeah, food included in the process is another equalizer. And a hungry child in the classroom is a child that it's starting with such a disadvantage, and it's unparalleled to their capability, right? To their cognitive abilities. An education that is critic, reflexive, tolerant, non-religious, that respects equality and diversity, and that is committed to the SDGs, so the Sustainable Development Goals of United Nations. If you haven't gotten familiar with the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, please, I will encourage you to go and take a good look at them because they are definitely worthy goals for our societies and for our global development to move towards, right? And then last but not least, well, if we just do a very small stop in this one, I believe this comes also because in those regions in which the extreme right is governing in coalition with the conservative right, they are playing the card of we don't have such a thing as the concept of critical race theory, that is one of the scapegoats of the conservative pundits in the US, but There is the notion of the LGBTQ agenda and whatnot that it's being weaponized as part of you don't have the right to teach my child to be tolerant to a trans person or whatnot, right?
Yeah, as a subject that I know fairly well, again, as a former teacher, designing a curriculum is political. Whatever, however you turn it around. I mean, I was one of the subjects I was teaching was history, and especially in history, choosing which periods you focus on, choosing which historiography you're going to lean on, it is extremely political. It is going to determine a certain vision of the world that you're going to bring into your classroom. And over the years, there were part of the curriculum that I actually disagreed with, and because again, some political choices were made, and they were controversial in France. That could be a discussion for another time. So having this notion of you should spare children from discussing this and that subject, or just focusing on what is normal with all the brackets we can imagine, again, as a progressive, is a bit of a non-question, because even choosing to, oh, we should limit to certain subjects, it is political if you choose to exclude certain subjects. So this whole discussion and sometimes opposition of children are too young for this, they shouldn't be exposed to this, is that if you make a choice to exclude certain parts of society from your curriculum, you're making a political choice as well. You're not making a common sense choice. You're not making a protect the children choice. And if you feel like that your children cannot learn about tolerance and about the variety of people, it's yeah, kill your shitty child.
And last but not least, it's about to reduce the ratios, teacher students in the Spanish classrooms, and to increase the resources both in human support and material support in the classroom.
Okay.
And this is a point in which I might be digging my own grave, because I hope it's a relatively common sense, but it's a point in which I believe it's at the heart of most of the systemic problems that you can find in a classroom are ratios, right? Are the number of kids that you need to service, the number of kids that you need to attend to, some of them with cognitive diversity, with neurodiversity, some of them with cultural diversity that you need to cater in a different way, some of them with cognitive conditioning from the device addictions and the social media reshaping of our attention spans. So I think that one of the most powerful ways to empower teachers, sorry for the repetition of the word there, but to empower teachers to be able to cope and do their best job towards students is having a ratio that gives them enough slack and enough headspace and enough time to actually digest and process that ambiguity and that variation in their task and to do their best job that as they want to do.
But it's expensive, and it's
Yes.
also the easiest way to cut corners. You just put five more children per class, and you can cut two job position per school, just with a pen strike.
Yes.
But
Okay.
sorry, okay, I'm being cynical, but again, former teacher, so I know the statistics, and I also experience firsthand what it is, the difference that precisely a smaller number of students can make, the difference that having proper working condition and having some recognition can make. And right now it's not going in a proper direction. I'm glad to see leftist coalition and progressives focus on this subject, but yeah, sometimes I'm not optimistic.
I am. So good. Let's wrap it up for this episode.
All
The
right.
next episode, we're going to talk about healthcare, another of our hobby horses. Thank you.